Make misogyny a hate crime. That's a call from one Labour MP, and it is up for debate in Westminster Hall today. Shadow Housing Minister Melanie Ong says women should be able to report wolf whistling, catcalling and unwanted attention on public transport to the police as hate crimes. What do you think? 030 30 80 55 55. On the line, commentators Emma Wolfe and Martin Daubney. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Emma, we'll start with yourself. What do you think? Is this a step too far or is this actually necessary?
I think this is absolutely necessary. The point is, unless women are able to report these crimes, the police won't take them seriously. So yes, sometimes we need to give these things a name. Things like being followed in public, having photographs taken up people's skirts, wolf whistling, all these kinds of... I mean, there's a huge range of different ways in which women are routinely intimidated, physically threatened, or even, you know, interfered with in public. And why should it not be properly classified? If we're going to call racism and homophobia hate crimes, why shouldn't sexism be hate crime too?
Martin?
Well, if we can deal with that logically, it's an evidential nightmare to prove a case, which would burden the courts with a huge number of unprovable cases. If you speak to a barrister about this, they will conclude this is utterly harebrained to even suggest you could take somebody to court for wolf whistling. How do you prove who did it? Oh, it was that bloke in the high-vis jacket. Oh, which one? Well, there were six of them. So we can see straight away, you'd never be able to make a guilty plea. And everybody would challenge it because the penalty would be appearing on the sex offenders register. So whistling at somebody. This is an example of how the people who run our countries have a totally wrong-headed and lopsided view of what it is that people, ordinary voters, everyday men and women want. Of course, we can agree that harassment and abuse has no place in society, which is why we have laws that already deal with it. And if we look at places that already have misogyny classified as a hate crime, Nottingham, my home city where I'm calling you from today, it's been a hate crime since last February, 83 incidents of misogyny. Now, 31 of them were recognised crimes that are already covered, you know, sexual assault, harassment, stalking, as Emma mentioned.
And what were the others?
52 hate incidents, which had to be actually investigated by real police officers on the public payroll.
But what kind of incidents were they, Martin?
Why shouldn't they be investigated?
Well, hold on, let's just get an idea of what those 50-odd incidents were.
Name-calling, offensive tweets, and women overhearing offensive jokes that weren't even meant for them. Are we seriously saying that that is how police should be spending their time? And the people of Grimsby, in Melanie Ong's constituency, are saying, what about drug crime? What about gang crime? What about female genital mutilation? There has not been a single prosecution on that. And instead, we're wasting time on wolf whistling.
Do you accept, Emma, that there is a line when it comes to things like this, whereas it can go too far? Do you accept that wolf whistling maybe is on the edge of that, or, as you heard Martin refer to there, overhearing something on the street or receiving a tweet that you didn't like? Or do you think that should be grouped in with some really serious offences? And I don't think anyone would try and defend the likes of someone trying to take a picture up a woman's skirt or anything like that, but is it fair to group that all together?
But I think it's about a spectrum, and I think it's about, you know, implementing a cultural shift in how we treat women, and it is hateful, all of these things. Martin says, how would you prove that someone wolf whistled at you? Well, in exactly the same way as you would prove that someone has shouted a racist comment or a homophobic comment at you in the street. It's not simple. It's not straightforward, of course. But I think it's about accepting the fact that everyday sexism, the kind of thing that women encounter, you know, going about their daily lives, are not acceptable. And I'm afraid it's a spectrum. It's a spectrum which leads to the treatment of women, the demeaning of women, humiliation, intimidation, and even, at the most extreme level, you know, violence and domestic abuse. It's all about a change.
Please, you are correct in saying there's a spectrum, and all of us agree that domestic violence, rape, sexual assault, these are cancers that need to be eradicated from society. We're in total agreement. Today, in Parliament, Melanie Ong is going to actually suggest that women are allowed to report men standing too close to them on public transport.
Yeah, you say that, and that can sound, Martin, that can sound
Martin,
almost... hold on a second, Emma. That can sound almost bizarre.
Well, I'm a woman.
But obviously,
I'm a woman.
But obviously...
No,
but hold on. No, let me finish my sentence, Emma, please, and I'll bring you back in. But it goes to show, Martin, there is a line. And you might think someone's standing too close to you. That there's nothing wrong with that. But then if you imagine someone standing so close that they are totally invading your personal space... Perhaps for
that
some kind of
extremely,
sexual reason, you have to admit, Martin, that that could be extremely uncomfortable for anyone on the receiving end of that.
What I'm saying here is, how on earth do we prove any of these cases? How do we prove the veracity of a legal claim that that person on a packed train where there's nowhere to stand anyway, who's too close to me, was committing some sort of crime? It's a legal monitor. It's an impossible proof.
Okay, that's not what we're debating. We're debating the principle.
Sure.
And I'm sorry. No one is going to claim that being packed into a train constitutes some kind of sexual harassment.
No, but I guess Martin's trying to say that there could be confusion there. And if a misogyny law like this is passed, let's say UK-wide, whereas that is an issue, how do you police something like that? Or walking past a building site and someone catcalls out from it, how do you do it? And if you can't, is there any point?
Okay, people can shout extremely intimidating comments. And you know, you guys aren't women. You don't know what it's like, I'm afraid.
Oh, come on. That's we can't understand racism.
Just let me speak. Having someone rubbing up against you on a train or a bus is a horrible experience. And almost every single female friend of mine has had that experience. I've had it, and it is intimidating. And, you know, you can't report that kind of thing at the moment because it's not classified as anything.
Which is the right thing, and every time that people
women just put up with it.
No, listen. What I'm saying is, every time that wolf whistling specifically has been addressed as something that should be classified as a crime, it happened recently in France by the new equalities minister. It was routinely rejected, and I expect that will happen again today, because you know the burden of proof is set so impossibly high that every case will be challenged, because who wants to be on the sex offenders register? And so we will have cases costing £3,000 a day to the public court.
Yeah, but let's not start to monetize someone's upset and to say, well, you're worth that money more than somebody else. So going back to Emma's question, how do we try and tackle it? Because it is obvious there is a problem when it comes to how women are treated and has been for a long time now. So if someone feels very intimidated or upset at someone, let's say catcalling, I know it might sound like something minor, but saying something very graphic or shouting something like that at the street.
You know what that feels like? Can I try and explain?
Yes.
Do you know what that feels like? Say if you're an 18-year-old girl, which, you know, I used to be. Say if you're an 18-year-old girl, you walk past the building site, a group of 9, 10, 11 guys standing there. Someone shouts out something about your breasts or something. Someone shouts out something about your legs. It is incredibly intimidating.
So how do we deal with it, Martin? What do we do?
Okay, well, I think also it's fair to point out that street harassment and street violence is not uniquely suffered by women. You know, it's a societal issue, and, you know, men and women hold a responsibility to try and end this. Now, I'm in total agreement that we need to be kind of encouraging men not to do this, and I think we do that by responsible education. I talk in schools, I'm in one later this afternoon, I talk about pornography and its role in sexual consent and respect for women. And you have to talk, particularly to young men, in an environment where they're prepared to listen in a non-condescending, non-think-wagging way, and engage them as humans and treat them with respect, and then they will go on to treat with respect.
What age do you say young men?
Yeah, I don't think we should start these conversations.
What about people that are older? This is not something that just comes from young men. This is all ages. And pornography, whereas I'm not denying it might have a role to play in people's men's perception of women and what is acceptable. This has been such a problem for a long period of time. We can't really label it on young people and porn.
Hang on,
I've got a solution to it.
Sure.
What we need to do, I think, is to empower men to be part of the solution and not brandish them as part of the problem. And that means we need to look at kind of bystander intervention projects, empowering men to set up. Most men hate this sort of stuff. Most men loathe it. They want it to end, but they don't know how to do it.
And we should say at this point that, nobody is saying that things like this are acceptable. It's more how we deal with it. And if a law or something like this, or even the debate in Westminster today, if that is the way to go about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Emma, you want to back in there, Emma. Go ahead.
I did. I want back in because I think that it's really easy to, and I know that Martin and you are doing it to a slight degree, when you use terms like catcalling or wolf whistling, it sort of minimises it. And I know it's easy to characterise it and sort of snigger at it. Oh, well,
Hold on.
But it's only a friendly comment, whatever. But the point is, it's almost about laying down getting that line in the sand. Even if the debate today is about saying this isn't acceptable anymore, and actually it is hatred towards women. Misogyny is a strong term, I know that, and it is about hatred towards women. There is a lot of that around and a feeling that women are fair game, that their bodies are fair game. And I write and talk to a lot of young women about this, just as Martin does in schools and colleges. And, you know,
the feeling of
there for the male gaze, you know all this stuff, the feeling of being there for the male gaze, being sort of fair game, and it's not. We're not fair game.
Let's bring in some calls at this point. Michael in Newton Abbey. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Vinny. I'm failed to understand why the conversation is solely based around intimidation with calls and cat calls towards females. I mean, men are subjected to the like things. I mean, why is the debate just simply about women? And don't get me wrong, I can assure you 100% that if one has the decency and to respect, irrespective of what the sex is, to respect them for being human beings and having the right, you know, to dress and to behave, providing it's done in a modest way, then, you know, I think sometimes, you know, women and men can, don't see it as a threat, but sometimes they also can see it as a compliment.
What do you mean, dress in a modest way?
Well, if you dress in a way that you know, that some people would construe as justifying wolf calling and cat calling.
Are you talking about men or
nonsense.
Women here?
Women both, can dress talking, exactly
this is
how
my
they
point,
want.
Isn't it? This is my point. I'm talking about both.
Okay.
Everyone likes to go out and dress properly and look well, and it doesn't justify wolf calling and cat calling, but if it happens, sometimes it actually is done in a complimentary way.
So sometimes it's your own fault because of how you've dressed. Is that what you're saying?
No. Well, listen, let's be honest about this. Let's be really honest about it. Some people go out to get attention. I'm not saying to go out in a provocative way, but to get attention, to get looked at. That's why we all dress up when we go out. We go out to look well and to seek a compliment. Not all the time, but sometimes we do it. Just the way if you're going for an interview, you dress well to set to have a good influence. So, I mean, my problem with this conversation is that, you know, we're taking the extreme side of it, but there is the actual honest-to-goodness person who dresses well, and if they get a compliment, and some people could see the compliment in terms of a catcall, you know, as a complimentary and not as a threatening gesture.
Well, then it's not
okay,
a hate
Emma.
Crime. Then it's not a hate crime. Of course, it can be.
Thank you. So, who determines that? If someone, say I catcalled, not that I do, but say I did, and the recipient claims that to be, you know, provocative or intimidating or whatever, how can I actually prove in a court of law that I was doing it in a complimentary way? How can I actually prove?
I'm sorry, we need to get away from this. There's a big difference between someone smiling at you, someone saying, you know,
hold on,
let her finish.
You know that.
Hold on,
someone saying
Emma.
That someone saying that you look nice is very, very different to being shouted at or, you know, having your body commented on in the street.
I'm sorry.
In an aggressive manner.
Back to Emma, with respect.
They're different.
There are people who have ulterior motives that would say I'm nice and so on. You don't know that until
what do you mean?
Go on. Let's be honest about it. Let's look at pedophiles. Pedophiles always start with compliments generally. You're a nice looking girl or boy, whatever the case may be. You're looking well. But they have an ulterior motive. So what I'm saying is hopefully very clearly that if we take things as a face value and we recognise that in general human beings, male and female, go out
with one single thing, and to, is to look well and to appear well and to present themselves properly. And if someone sees the opportunity to compliment them for that, then that we're in a danger of
okay.
a situation whereby the
I'm sorry. No, I'm
okay.
sorry. There are lines.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's, I'm not sure really drawing comparisons with paedophiles in this instance is helpful for anyone.
Nor does it have anything to do with what people are wearing,
no.
frankly.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do with anyone else, what anyone wears,
let's,
male or female.
Let's bring in another caller. Can I just say, if you are listening this morning and you are female, please ring in on this, because I have two other callers waiting and they're both male. So, you know, I think it's important that we do. I know we've got Emma here, but we get a female perspective as well. 030-30-80-55-55. Pat and Armagh. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, you are now making me feel bad about
I'm sorry, Pat. I'm not. I just want. I'm trying to just represent, you know, that view. But we need more females ringing into this program, Pat. What do you think?
Right. Well, I'd like to address a question to Emma, if I may, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Emma, you're categorising catcalls and wolf whistles together in the same breath. And drawing the line there and saying these are both unacceptable. I would suggest to you, if you look at what I remember of cat calls and wolf whistles, that a wolf whistle is a very direct and long distance communication to, you know, between, usually between a man, you know, it's usually men, a man whistling at a woman, okay, to say, I see you, you're looking well, and this is what I think of you, right, okay? It's a long distance communication. There's nothing derogatory in it. In my experience, and as such, you know, sort of, I don't think you should include that. I totally agree with you on the catcalling thing, you know, sort of, that is abusive, but I don't think that wolf whistles is. And beyond that, if you look at, you know, just in terms of that long-distance communication, you know, sort of, in closer range, if you want to put it that way, a compliment can be passed with a whistle. You know, I've done it.
What gives anyone the right, Pat, to pass comment on anyone, whether they know them or not, but especially if you don't? What gives anyone, a man or a woman, to pass any comment, whether that's a whistle, a wink, or saying you're looking well? What gives that person the right to do that and to pass that on to a stranger?
Because you're what they call, you know, sort of, What gives you the right for to say that you can't? You know, sort of,
But I'm not talking about.
Is it the fact that you're not allowed to communicate with strangers?
No, okay. But I'm not saying that. You asked me a question, and well, I'm not.
Sorry, go ahead, Emma. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I was answering the presenter there. Go ahead, Emma. Go on.
Yeah, I'm not saying anyone should be reported for whistling at someone. I wouldn't go that far. But I'm saying that it easily turns into comment. Hold on. That's Melanie On's view. But I'm saying that comments shouted across from the street and comments on a woman's body, comments on what she's wearing, can feel extremely intimidating and they're not acceptable.
Okay, one last call on this for now. Thomas in North Belfast. Thomas, good morning.
Hey, James.
I was looking for a female perspective on this, but we'll have to make do with you.
Well, that's it. Hello, Emma. How are you? I'd just like to ask you, Emma, say a female, stroke lady, stroke woman, stroke guy, I don't know, but there's that many names people call everybody now. There's wolf whistles at someone or says something to a man. Are you seriously suggesting that they should be on the sex offenders register, or what punishment do you think they should be getting if that lady or girl says something to a man and he's annoyed at it? Is it a jail sentence? Is it a fine and going on the sex offenders register?
I've never said anything about the sex offenders register, Martin.
No, but it's a sexual crime. You do go on the sex offenders register.
Okay, this would be slightly different. Emma, let Emma finish. Emma, respond.
Well, it's just about classifying them as hate crimes. Yeah, of course, it should be the other way around. If a man feels that he's been intimidated or that a group of women have surrounded him and somehow harassed him or made him feel threatened in any way, then very rare. It is extremely rare. And actually, because of the power imbalance, and I'm talking about a cultural shift in which women are, you know, seen as fair game, it very rarely happens.
But I'm asking about men. I'm not asking about women. I'm asking about men.
You're asking if it was the other way around.
Should that female get...
I'm not a lawyer. I don't know, but... I'm saying it's very rarely the other way around, and when it is the other way around, most men will say that they quite enjoy
okay.
that, and that
all
it
right.
doesn't make them feel.
Thomas, thank you. We're going to have to leave it at that. Emma Wolf, thank you as well, and thanks to Martin Daubney. This is up for discussion, up for debate in Westminster Hall today, and it does go beyond wolf whistling. It's part of it, but it calls into to question a lot of other elements of unwanted public attention.